Good evening, everybody. Anybody get any rest today? Well, I've got some sad news. I put a wood stand on the giant, so I was probably going to stay up tonight. If that thing falls over, we know Jesus is coming soon. He looks a little bigger, but he's going to get smaller. Well, we're back for night two of the Trust Challenge in intensive. Last week, we got our rocks, and I've been seeing some rocks on Facebook. It was really cool. We wrote down some of our financial giants, and if you weren't here last week and you want to, get some Post-it notes and write up some of your giants on there. We're seeing those things come down. We made some changes to the discussion groups based on sizes, so you should have gotten that information. We've got them clearly marked, which group you're in. Anybody have any questions about that? We doing okay with what group you're in? Participate in those discussion groups. It's a really important part of the whole intensive. Again, the whole community aspect, doing this together. Well, are we excited about tonight?
Yeah.
Well, let's just go ahead and pray for a moment, huh? Father, in the name of Jesus, we just give you praise. We thank you for what you're doing in our midst. Already things have begun. We've identified some giants. We see some things. Already, Lord, you've been speaking to us about change and about moving forward. And so we know the timing's right. So we just open our hearts to you. Speak to us tonight. Minister to us tonight. I thank you for courage, strength, wisdom, revelation, exactly what we need tonight. Orchestrate this whole thing by the Holy Spirit. And I thank you, each intensive, it's going to build and grow. And by the end of May, Father, giants will have fallen. And we are moving forward in a bold way, not just individually, but Good News Church. And we give you the praise and give you the glory for it. And I thank you for Ephesians 3:20. Super abundantly, more than we dare ask or think or hope or dream or pray. I declare extraordinary things happening in this church and in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, tonight, Eddie's going to come forward and share some things. I mean, whatever you want to do. Okay.
Thank you. So, who was here this morning? Well, if you weren't here this morning, yeah, you need to get that. This is how I do it in School for Life, because I like to move. So if you weren't here this morning, you want to get that podcast as soon as our podcast IT guy puts that up, because it was really good. And it's kind of it was probably almost a foundation for what we're going to be doing tonight. But let's look at our theme verse. Do they have that? We can put it up. Do you guys have that in the Message translation? Because I like it in the Message translation. Let's read it in the Message. Okay, so tell those rich in this world's wealth to quit being so full of themselves and so obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Tell them to go after God, who piles on all the riches we could ever manage, to do good, to be rich in helping others, to be extravagantly generous. If they do that, they'll build a treasury that will last, gaining life that is truly life. So tonight, what we're going to do is I'm going to challenge your thoughts about trusting God. I'm going to kind of, you know, when we define challenge the other day, it's one of these things we're going to actually look at trust and see where are we putting our trust, who is our trust in. So that's where we're going to start, you know, and really Romans says, you know, we have to renew our mind by the Word of God. So we're going to use God's Word tonight. We're going to renew our minds a little bit on trust here. What does trust mean? What's trust do? All right. So it's interesting about trust. When you're trusting God, and I know you guys have done this, you're believing God for something and you're trusting Him. And if you've been like me, and I know most of you are, you ever believe God for something, you're confessing it. You're exercising your faith. You're just all involved in it. Really working, got your verses, got your scriptures, got everything, and you're just putting yourself out there trusting God. And then you get the answer. Now, I know, Nate, I'm going to pick on you for a second. There was a situation a couple years ago where Nate was believing God for a vehicle. And he actually sowed his vehicle as a seed. And so he was riding a bicycle until that bicycle broke. And then he was walking. So at that point, I know Nate was trusting God. I've been in that same situation where you're going through something like that and you're really trusting God. I mean, were you confessing? You had your faith working, right? And you were counting on God, relying on God, trusting God to deliver, right? Come through. Now, you didn't know how he was going to do it, but he was believing, trusting, counting on God. You and I have done the same thing. Well, we are relying on him. We're trusting in him. We're counting on him. We're depending on him. But then what you're believing God for comes. And what happens is your trust begins to migrate. Now, migrate is kind of a funny word. It just means like it moves from one place to another. You no longer are trusting God because now I've got it. What you begin trusting is what you were believing God for. Now, Nate, now I'm not saying this is what you did, but I've done this where I've trusted God. I'm going to take this, my trust rock out of my pocket, put it right down my notes, okay? It was bothering me in my pocket. But when you're trusting God for something, then you get it, your trust starts migrating onto what you got. So you start trusting your car, because that's what you're believing God for, was your car. You believe, well, hey, I believe, and I trust that this car is going to take me where I need to go. And it's going to, you know, it's a nice car. I got to keep it up, got to clean the seats, got to, you know, wash it up, got to keep my rims clean, got to keep my tires good, all that stuff. I'm just putting all this time, effort, to the point you become like me. I hope you never become like I did in my first car. I loved that car. I mean, I did. I really did. I loved that car. I would wash it, wax it, buff it. It had T-tops on it. It's a 1992 Pontiac Grand Prix. It was supposed to have a 4.3-liter motor in it, but they tricked me and gave me a 3.8. They never told me it was a 3.8. It was, Susie says, Pontiac in those days, their slogan was, Pontiac, we build excitement. They left that out of my car. It was not in my car, but I loved that car. I mean, I really did. I washed it. I honored it. I took care of it. I did all these things to the thing. See, that's how our trust migrates. Because you're believing God for something, you get it, but then you start focusing on the thing. I mean, have you ever been without a job and you needed a job? You believe God for a job, right? You trust God for the job. You're counting on the job. You're counting on God to help supply the job. You get the job, and what's the first thing you do? After you work 2 weeks, or however many weeks you have to do, because sometimes I hold a week, sometimes I hold 2 weeks, but you get your first check. You got your check, and your trust begins to migrate to the check. It's no longer I'm having to trust God for the money. I'm looking now at the check. So my trust migrates to the check, and then my trust migrates to the employer. Because this is a good employer, a good company, offered me benefits, offered me a 501k, whatever in the world that means, offered me a retirement plan. Who's ever heard of that? Not me. Give me insurance. Give me all this kind of stuff. So my trust, my confidence, my reliance stops. You know, it comes off of God and it moves over to that. Did you know that new cars will disappoint you? I learned that on my first one. It really disappointed me. Did you know that employers will disappoint you? They will. I had a man tell me just this week, his wife had been with the company 22 years. She gets up on a normal day, goes to work. She gets to work, the place is locked up. There's no one there, no one answering the phone. The place is, I mean, not just lights are off. There's a padlock on the outside with chains on it. You can't get in, nobody answers the phone, nobody's there, no nothing. So it takes her a week or so to find out what's going on, and there is no retirement anymore. Somebody got that. There is no more health, anything, it's gone. Everything she had put in, everything she had invested was gone. Besides having the job gone, All her efforts were gone. Now, they weren't believers, but you and I fall into the same thing sometimes. You know, we've been in the world so much, we've dulled our senses to what the Bible says. We've quit trusting God and we've migrated our trust over into the world. So we've trusted it. One thing we're doing in this TCI is we're getting back to trusting God. I guess I have to, there's one asterisk here. It's bothered me a little bit. Okay. There. Now I feel better. Okay. I'm sorry. So, the asterisk here to all these TCIs is, and there's a disclaimer, this is not coming out of a book. We didn't get this from a book. We got this through prayer. God really was kind of helping us. And I'm believing, I'm trusting God to help me tonight to get through this. And that's the way we do it these times. So it's not like a pre-programmed thing. God's actually showing us some stuff. And I believe that when we go through these things, we're going to get somewhere with this. So our trust is going to be back where it belongs, which is on God. And not on our employers or not on our whatever it is. We're not of the world. We're in the world, but we're children of the Almighty God. So our trust is on Him. Our confidence is in Him. Now, trust just means this. It's confidence. It's a reliance. Or it's really, Webster says it like this. It's a reliance or a resting of the mind on the integrity, the veracity, the justice, the friendship, or other sound principle of another person. So that's what it is. So it's like we're relying on somebody else, something else. That's the world's way, to count on somebody else. The world's way is to trust yourself. Trust yourself. Trust that you can do it. Trust that you can get it done. You know, you've got a bill to pay, something coming up, and I know people that do this. Take a second job so they can knock it out or do whatever needs to be done. I mean, I like the attitude of doing whatever needs to be done, but the issue is it's not you and it's not me. We can't put our trust in us. Our trust needs to be in God the Father who loves us. It can't be in stuff. It can't be in things. It can't be in ourselves, and it can't be in other people. Old Testament Psalm says, something about trust. You can't put your confidence or trust in princes. You just have to put it in God. So we have to put our trust in God. All right, so world's way is that's how. Okay, now what is it that you're doing? What is it that I'm doing? Are you trusting what you can do or what somebody else can do for you? Are you storing up stuff for yourself for later on? Y'all remember the New Testament story, Luke, I think it is, about the rich man? And he's got so much possessions, and he's got a great harvest coming in. He tears down his barns so he can make more room. Y'all remember that story? He tears down his barns so he can make more room. Because he says to himself, soul, you know, like you've worked really hard. You've done really well. You know, rest. Take your ease. Eat, drink, be merry. We're going to build up bigger barns. We're going to put it off for down the road. Remember the outcome of that man. And all his possessions was not a good outcome. We don't need to be like doing stuff ourselves for down the road. Now, we do need retirement. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that these things where we're taking on this myself and do. Let's get God involved. Trust Him. He'll direct you. He'll show you. He'll tell us what we need to do. But it's not necessarily tearing down stuff so we can make something bigger. Our trust needs to be in our Heavenly Father. We're different from the world. But what is it that we're doing? Are you doing something? Are you acquiring debt to get something today? Or have you, let's say it like this, have you acquired debt to get something now instead of being patient and waiting on God who said He would supply all of your needs? Have you ever done that? I know I've done that. I've gotten in a hurry, didn't wait on God. And I acquired debt. And I've got payments stretching out for years on something that if I would have waited on God and trusted God, He would have supplied. It's interesting what Pastor Susan was saying. One of those verses that she mentioned this morning about being content when Paul was saying, be content. You know, it's not that I have to just settle for what I have, but it's like I have a knowing on the inside of me that God supplies. I have all sufficiency. And sometimes I have to have a little bit of patience with my sufficiency so that my sufficiency catches up. But God will get it to us. That's His job. It's His obligation. It's His commitment. It's His promise. He will supply. But we have looked at our desires because they advertise it on TV that I've got to have a new one. Or they say that I've got to have a bigger one. Or they say the one that I've got is not good enough. Or the one I got is 10 years old, so it certainly can't be in style today. So I've got to have this other one. And they want me to go into debt to them so I can have their thing. When God would say to us, trust me, trust me, trust me. That's what God's saying. He's saying, trust me. So, you know, the scripture, Jesus was really plain when he said this in Matthew 6. He said, 6, verse 24, in New King James, it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I think Pastor Susie mentioned this verse this morning, or she read right around it. Amplified says that word, defines that word mammon as this: deceitful riches, money, possessions, or whatever is trusted in. So it's not just money. It's whatever you're trusting in. It could be possessions. And Luke's gospel, he said, it's anything in which you trust and in which you rely. Because when you put what you trust and what you rely, the possessions, your money, or whatever it is, when you put that in front of God, it's mammon. You can only serve one or the other. God or mammon. Where is our trust? Our trust should be in God. And not in deceitful riches, money, possessions, or whatever else we're trusting. Whether it's my job or whatever. Our trust needs to be in God. Has this ever happened to you? I mean, I've done it. So how do we trust God? We keep our eyes focused on Him. We learned this lesson just by watching Peter when he got out of the boat, right? As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was walking on the water. When he took his eyes off Jesus and looked at all the other situation, then he began to sink. So we keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And what does that mean? That means that we wait on Him because God said He will supply our needs. He'll provide for us. And that we know that we have all sufficiency of all things right now, even though it may not be in my wallet, even though I may not have it to drive, it may not have it to wear, whatever. I know I have it based on what God said. Because God is the one supplying our needs. You know, really, when you think about it, that everything that comes to you, the tithe is off your increase. Everything that comes into your hands, not just off your job or your check, it's off of everything that comes into your hand. If you are tithing, have this heart of a tither, and many of us here do, we're tithers. What we're doing, what happens when we tithe is we're saying, this increase that just came into my hand, you're not my source. You're not my source. You're not the source of my supply. Mr. Employer, you're not the guy that pays my bills. I'm tithing off the top of this because I'm acknowledging that God, my Heavenly Father, He supplies all my needs. See, so as long as I keep that heart, then I am acknowledging that God is the one that supplied. He's the one that brought me the job. My trust is on Him. My trust is in Him, not in Mr. Whoever it is, the man. That's funny when you are the man and then you say, the man. Because I am one of those, the man. But God supplies all of our needs. He's the one that does it. And when we tithe, we're acknowledging that he did it. Now, many of us here are tithers, but you know God wants to do more than that. He wants more than that for you than just tithing. He wants more. He wants you at a higher level than where you're at right now. He wants more than you. You know, Pastor Matt shared the story last year in the Creating Power to Create Wealth series about R.G. Letourneau, who gave 90% of his income, 90% of his income to support the gospel. Whew. That could be all of us. But you know how you do that? By trusting God. It's not by borrowing or anything else in the world. Their mindset of how to do it is by trusting God. So how do we stop trusting the world, and how do we step over into trusting God? Guys, put that verse back up. You know, Paul wrote the answer right here in this verse. In the Message translation, our first one, I should have said. 1 Timothy 6. There we go. Tell those rich in this world, well, to quit being so full of themselves and so obsessed with money, which is here today and going tomorrow. Tell them, here you go, tell them to go after God. Step one. Step one, to get off of the world's trust system and get on God's trust system, is go after God. Because God piles on all the riches you could ever manage. Instead of us trying to go for it and be it ourselves and do it ourselves, trust Him. Go after God. Next part. Here's number two. Do good. Go after God. And then step number two would be to do good. Go out and be benevolent. Do good. Three, be rich in, back up. To be rich in helping others. Number four, to be extravagantly generous. Now, it is really tough if I am focused on my car. And by the way, I gave that car. I sold that first car. And my second car that I had after that one, I sold it. And when I get finished with this one, when I'm finished with it, I'll sell this one. I mean, I just made a habit. I just decided that I broke that loving car thing. I broke it. I don't love cars. I mean, I like cars. I want a fast car. But I don't love cars, and cars don't own me. And I sold the car. So when you take something like that that you love and that's been a problem in your life, give it. Sow it. It doesn't need to rule over you. You rule it. You do good. You give extravagantly. You help others. What's he saying here is you're taking your eyes off of you and yourself, and you're putting your eyes on somebody else. You know, Jesus had all sufficiency. He supplied everything. But it wasn't for him. It was for everybody else. But God flowed it through him. I mean, he fed 5,000 men, fed 4,000 men, told Peter how to catch the fish with the gold in its mouth to pay their taxes. I mean, you think about all the miracles that he worked. Those miracles weren't for him. God's got a miracle plan for you that he wants to flow through you. It's not about just me and you amassing and having possessions that require us to stay at home and take care of them. You follow what I'm saying? It's about us, it flowing through us. It's about us doing good. It's about us being rich and helping others. It's about us being extravagant generosity. It's about us seeking God with all of our heart. Do y'all follow what I'm saying? Let's take a moment here. We're going to do a couple things here. Number one, I think that you probably like me that you've done some of these things. And I know what 1 John 1:9 says. It says, if you confess your sin, sin is just missing the mark. Sin is just that I haven't, you know, fulfilled the plan that God would have me to fulfill in the past, missing the mark. If 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When he cleanses us from all unrighteousness, that means we're just made right back right with him. We are looking for a transformation in our thinking and a transformation in our lives concerning finances. I'm tired of having it the way it's been. I know God's got a great plan for you. I know He's got a great plan for me. I know He's got a great plan for this church. And I'm ready to get on with the plan. And just because if we had a lottery windfall tomorrow, it's not going to cure where we're off. Because where we're off is in here. It's not on God's side. Are you following me? Are you with me? So let's just take a moment. Consider, remember, think about where you might have missed it. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. I'm going to give you a moment. I'm going to lead us all in a prayer of repentance. And then we're going to just talk to God. You're going to talk to God in your seat for a moment. And then I'm going to lead us in a confession of stepping over from where we've been to where we're going to trust Him. Okay? That's what we're going to do this next few minutes before we go to our groups. All right, let's take a moment right now. Is there somewhere that you've missed it? Take a moment and let's pray about that. And Father, we repent of not trusting You fully, of not trusting You enough, of putting other things in front of You, of trusting in ourselves, trusting in the world and its system, trusting in all the things that the world would entangle us with to get us to go down their path. We repent of that. That's not who You created us to be. That's not what You want. And we lay that down. And we receive forgiveness of missing the mark. Thank You, Heavenly Father. No more. No more. No more self-reliance. No more reliance on the world. No more relying on our employers or employees. No more relying on the government or any other agency. We put our trust in You. We look to You. We lean on You. We depend on You. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, I trust You. I trust You with my life. I trust You with my family. I trust You with my possessions. I trust You in everything I do. I acknowledge that everything I have came from You and was born out of Your love for me. No longer will I trust what I can do, what others can do for me. But from this point forward, I trust You. I will not trust in riches, but I will trust in You, who richly provides everything I need. I thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Glory to God. We're stepping over. Stepping over. It's going to be like Peter stepping out of the boat. And we're going to trust God. Trust God. Put our trust, our reliance, our confidence, our dependence fully on Him. Now you have to guard the world. You have to guard against the world. They want to do everything they can to get you in their snare. Cares of this world, the deceitfulness we heard about this morning of riches, lust for other things. Resist those things. Resist those things. Say this with me. I am empowered by the Holy Spirit who indwells me to strengthen me to resist the world and all of its snares. No more will that have any place or any power over me. That's who we are. That's who we are. Praise God.
All right, guys. That was good. At this time, we're going to separate into our small groups. I want to remind you that your group number is on your name tag. We did have to make a few adjustments to the groups based on size and dynamics of the group. So remember to look at your name tag and go to your spot. The numbers are on the chairs. And your group leader will have the questions for you. And if you're one of the group leaders and do not have your questions, then please see Rhonda. She's also got next week's assignment for you to pass out to your group at the end. All right. You are dismissed to your groups. Be open. Participate.